This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The next hadith today is a very popular narration that's probably something that most of you have heard. It's من خرج في طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. Whoever leaves home to seek sacred knowledge is on the path of Allah until he returns. Whoever leaves home to seek sacred knowledge is on the path of Allah until he returns. Being on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly understood because of the verse in the Quran, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Do the people who know, can they be equated to those who do not know? There's a clear distinction between the two made in the Quran. There are so many ahadith that speak about the virtues of knowledge. And in general, the one hadith which really stands out, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the anbiya or prophets, and there used to be numerous prophets among the Bani Israel, used to administer their religious affairs. So they were very fortunate to have prophets who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send revelations to, as such, wahi. But in this ummah, the ulama take their place. So we don't have any prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's the ulama who take their place, the place of the prophets. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then confirms that in another narration. It says that we don't have inheritors. The inheritors that we do have are the ulama, and the ulama are the warathatul anbiya. They're the inheritors of the prophets because they carry on the knowledge. So you've got numerous ahadith that give you an understanding of the level that knowledge has in the Sharia, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So definitely then, to encourage people to go out and study, and not just to encourage, I mean, this is not some kind of a false promise. This is the fact that anybody who is then going out to fulfill this responsibility of communities having knowledgeable people, they're going to be considered in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because what they're doing would be considered for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's there to go and seek knowledge. This is clearly speaking about sacred knowledge, or any other contemporary form of secular knowledge that would be necessary for the spiritual upliftment of a Muslim community. So you could include things which are required by the Muslim community to make the living the deens more simplified for them. And if there is something that is not completely a sacred knowledge, aspect of sacred knowledge, but something else, then that would also be part of this, because it's done for the sake, it's done for the same purpose. Being in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously means that if you are in the path of someone, that means you're their guest in a sense. And that's why you have some other ahadith to support this, give a better idea of this. For example, it says that the angels lay down their wings for such a person. The fish in the ocean make dua for such a person. And as we explained sometime before, the reason for it is that you'd expect that somebody with knowledge would do less dhulm in this world, less oppressive to others and to themselves, and would promote piety and righteousness. And when that happens, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends because of that. The more piety that's discussed, and the more the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken, there are more mercies that are sent down, and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are withheld. And it's not just the human beings that benefit from that, but all of the creatures around, they also benefit from that. So they make a lot of dua for the student of knowledge, because the student of knowledge has great potential to be of benefit for everybody. This is what some ulama have explained as to the meaning of the angels laying down their wings, or the fish in the ocean, making dua for such a person. Another aspect of this is that a person who's in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is going to facilitate more for that person. If you do a study of the scholars that left their own communities to study outside, you will find that there have been many who've done that. And I tell you from personal experience, the further you go, the greater difficulty that you undertake for that, to go and learn something that is not available locally or in a closer place, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. So I am speaking about one individual who the few years that they spent studying in a further place, in another country, in more difficult circumstances where the heat was a lot more, the problems with electricity and things like that in third world countries, the benefits were much greater. There seemed to be more barakah in time. There just seems to be more of a facility that was provided for knowledge to be gained. I mean, aside from a certain social demands and conditions, clearly there was barakah. Clearly there was barakah in that. So the more a person is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more difficulty that they have to undergo to do this, the greater the benefit is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward a person. Clearly if a person has come from very far to our homes and they've taken a great journey to do that, we'll probably appreciate them a lot more than somebody who's just kind of come from maybe next door. We'll give a lot more to those, pay a lot more attention to those who come from very far, because we'd really appreciate and acknowledge that fact. And really appreciate it. So whoever is in the path, whoever goes out to study the knowledge, to seek the sacred knowledge, they are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until they return. This has nothing to do with knowledge. Some people try to equate this narration with any type of knowledge. So if you're going for a university degree or any other kind of training, if it's, as I said earlier, right in the beginning, if it's something to do with making it better for Muslims and you can tie it in somehow, the intention is righteous and you can tie it very clearly with something to do with the religious community and the intention is sincere, then that could also play some part in this. But if it's just for a degree, just to make a better living and so on, and it's just for a worldly career, then obviously that doesn't equate to this. There are many people who try to equate all types of knowledge and try to put that into this. There's nothing wrong with that, having said that. We're just talking about the fadila here of one thing. So the fact that we should be studying knowledge from the cradle to the grave, that's absolutely, that stands in its place. But we're just trying to make a distinction about the virtues that are mentioned here. There is a narration from that's related by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. And it's a famous narration, but essentially what it's saying is that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was once sitting in the masjid in Damascus. Now this is after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had departed from this world. He was sitting in the masjid of Damascus. He moved there. He was there, and suddenly a man came all the way from Medina Munawwara. Medina Munawwara is where the center of everything was. But in this case, many of the Sahaba had left the city, they'd gone out. So in this case, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was in a masjid in Damascus, and suddenly this man comes along and he says, "This Abu Darda radiallahu anhu." He said, "Yes, this is Abu Darda." He says, "I've come to you to ask you about a hadith which you relate from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, "Have you come for any other reason here? Have you come because of some business, is this a business trip for you? Is this for any other need that you've come here and you're just kind of visiting me in between that?" He says, "No, ma jitu illa li hadha. I've only come for this reason," meaning I've come purely for asking you about this hadith. I've not come for any other reason. So that was quite astonishing, that a person is now traveling from the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the hadith that he's going to attain and seek was clearly said in that city. But now the source of that, the recipient of that statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was now sitting in Damascus. He traveled all that distance, which takes a good number of hours even by road, 10-15 hours just by road, and he went there to hear it from Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. And very clearly it wasn't any kind of secret narration that only Abu Darda radiallahu anhu knew, and he would only give it to those who came to him. It was a famous narration which this individual had heard as well, but he wanted to hear it directly from Abu Darda radiallahu anhu to be connected with the person who had heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can tell that that's the kind of endeavor that the ulama of the past, our predecessors, that's the kind of endeavors they undertook. That is what they put themselves under to be able to protect this deen. So to get the deen from the primary sources and then to continue it that way. Had it not been like that for them, if they had taken it loosely, if they had focused more on just building up their dunya and their world, then can you imagine the state of the deen today? It would have been, as you can understand, we would have been very far from it, and there would have been a lot more distortions. But the emphasis that the ulama put to take the deen as closely as possible, in an accurate way as possible, authentically as possible, and reliably, that is what has helped the deen to be preserved as it is today. So that's this hadith, that whoever leaves home to seek sacred knowledge is on the path of Allah until he returns. And that was a similar narration that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu then related to this individual who had come from Medina Munawwara to Damascus.